You want to take your Bible and turn to Colossians 4, and I just want to help I'm a little shorter than Pastor Joel, so I'm going to lower this down, but as you think about missions, I want you to understand something, and I think many of you are aware of this, but really, when it comes to missions, it's not just one family packing up and going overseas to some other place. It is a team effort. It is churches partnering together with missionaries to accomplish this unbelievable opportunity of reaching nations for the gospel, with the gospel. And I want to sort of give you a tool tonight, and you could, it's kind of a play on words. It's not original with me. It's, our mission has a little book called Praying Over the Seven Seas, and it's literally a play on words saying, this, you know, there's seven seas in this world, and as you think of missions, think about your role in it. Realize that prayer is an integral part of that, and as you think about it, picture sort of the war analogy, how in If the military sees a specific area that needs to be taken back, it's the enemy has control of it, they don't just immediately send in the ground troops. They will prepare by strategizing, coming together, talking about it, and then they send in support troops where they drop bombs, they basically break up the strongholds, the headquarters. They will blast, and then when the ground troops approach, it's already been prepared. Now, keep that picture in your mind and think with me of how God has designed prayer, that you as a church, when a missionary comes and they share with you some of the needs and some of the problems and struggles, and as you pray, what you're doing is you're literally preparing the way, especially for those first-termers as they go and they don't know what they're walking into. You are preparing the way. I don't really understand this fully, but I can tell you God uses prayer, and he wants to use us and use you as a church family to pray. And let's look at Colossians 4, and we'll read verses 2 through 4, and then we'll pray and get right into our study tonight. It says, "Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time we can spend together in your word. Thank you for this church and for their faithful desire to stay true to you. And I pray that as they continue forward, that you will protect this flock from error, that you will continue to help Pastor Joel have wisdom in leading and guiding, and I pray that you will continue to meet the needs of this church. I pray especially for tonight, God, that you would help us to understand a little more deeply of what you desire for us, and we'll give you the praise for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to go through these seven C's, and let me just figure this out before I go much further. So advance, I just hit this little arrow, but it's not working for me. Is that the right arrow to hit? Yeah, maybe he'll come and check it for me, but basically I'm going to give you these seven C's that will help you have a tool to be able to pray effectively and clearly for missionaries. And so many times in missions, there are things that are going on that many people don't even, they're not aware of. They don't realize, and they don't know exactly even how to pray. They're like, well, God, you know, bless so-and-so over in that place. And what tonight hopefully will do, it'll give you a tool that you'll be able to use in how you can pray for missionaries. And so the first one, I'm just going to go ahead without the slides initially here, is the word, the letter C, care. I'm sorry, my mind's a little slow here. We'll get moving. But care, okay? Many of you probably prayed for Emma about 2 years ago. She went through a major health struggle, and we didn't know what it was, and being in a place you just don't, you don't really have a really solid ability to get medical help, in-depth medical help. You can get, if you have a broken leg or simple things like that, you can have fixed, but any major care, you need to go off-island. And this is something I want you to think about. In missions, a lot of times things are so out of the ordinary. So a wife feels extra pressure. She doesn't know how to, the mom is trying to figure out how to care for her child, and they're far from anybody that really they know well and can really relate with them well. And so as you pray care, I want you to think of two things, and I'll get to Emma in a second here. And what I've done is with each of these C's, I've put a kind of an example of Palau, and just so you can see how God is answering those prayers. But when you think of praying for care for your missionaries, first of all, pray for protection, pray for safety and security, pray that God would remove this sickness, but keep an open hand on your prayer. And this goes for your personal life, for you praying for loved ones, for your pastor here, for others in your life. We never have a right to tell God what to do. We can say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but would you please intervene in this? Would you please take this away? Remember Jesus in the garden? He even said, Lord, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the concept. That's the idea. Take this away. If it's possible, remove this cup from me. And that's the idea. But if God chooses to say, my child, I hear you praying this, but it's not really the right prayer right now. This is not the right thing that you're asking me to do. I've got something better planned. Pray, the second part of that is to pray for grace and profit from those trials. Because God wants to do amazing things. Even when we pray and it seems like he's silent, he's wanting to do something amazing through it. So that's a super important part of how we, when we pray, as you pray for care. So here Emma was sick. We didn't know what was going on. She had what we thought was dengue fever, and Jamie had it just a few weeks earlier. You get a really high fever, 104 plus, and you just hurt all over. They call it the bone break disease. So it's kind of, it's miserable. Did you guys have it in Ghana? And I know there's tons of other worse sicknesses, but this is not a fun one. We thought she had dengue. And anyway, it turned out that it was something different than dengue because she started, after a few days, she wasn't improving. And she started to have really shallow breathing. And we thought, there's something terrible wrong. So there's a doctor in our church, a lady that came and looked at her and said, you need to take her to the emergency room right now. So we took her, and she had, double lung pneumonia. But what happened was, and I'm not going to really belabor this, but they found a spot on her lung. They had a CT scan machine, but they don't have someone who can read it, so they send it to the Philippines. And they sent it back and said they discovered a perforated lesion on her lung. And so basically, when I looked it up, that meant there weren't very good options, either tuberculosis or cancer. And so that's when we sent out a prayer letter. And many of you really cried out to the Lord. And for whatever reason, God saw fit to not allow that to be cancer, which is, we praise him for it. But as you think about missions and as you think about your missionaries, there's so many aspects. There's health, there's physical safety, there's struggles in their family, in their neighborhood, in their relationships. So care is a very big prayer request. Let's advance that slide. And if you see that the verse there, actually, look with me real quickly at the verse, and then we'll come to Amy Carmichael's statement here. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now, the idea of care in this is Paul was very direct in saying, I want you to be faithful in this. I want you to really diligently cry out and pray. Care for people through prayer. And as you look at this quote by Amy Carmichael, I love it because so many times when we were over in Palau, people would email and say, hey, was something going on yesterday at this time? And say, well, God woke me up in the middle of the night and I thought about you guys and I prayed for you. Did anything happen at this time? And it almost always Jamie would think it through and there was something specific that was going on. And Amy Carmichael said, if you are ever inclined to pray for a missionary, do it at once, wherever you are. Perhaps he may be in great peril at that moment. And it is so true that prayers from God's people are used in a very, it's a supernatural thing that God does. He uses his people to accomplish his will. And prayer is a very critical part of that. So you can care for your missionaries in that way. Let's continue forward. 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul, he's talking about some of the struggles he had. And look at that last section of these verses. It says, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And sometimes missionaries will face people who literally hate them because of what they stand for. And I could give you examples of this, of people that literally hate to the point of wanting you absolutely gone. I've had people tell me, you know, you should just go back to America and do very hurtful things right in your face that you're trying to love and care for them, and they're doing this. And so pray for that for your missionaries. Pray for care. Let's continue forward on this. Sorry, I'm having to prompt it, but it's fine as long as you guys are okay with it. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 through 11. Again, Paul at the end in verse 11 says, you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And as you think about that, Paul understood that prayer was not just something that he needed to do, but that as God's people prayed, it had a tremendous impact on everyone that he was ministering to and those that were praying. The second C is the word contacts. And in this little picture, you'll see this girl named Viljoen. And Viljoen was a troubled girl. She was a high-risk student, sixth grader, got involved in some really bad stuff, and the leadership was worried that there were several youth that were in trouble. And so they contacted our John Clapp, actually my teammate, and John put together with the youth services team, put together a mentoring, mentoring partnership where he found about six young people who would be willing to connect with students and mentor them. Viljoen was one of them, and Allie was selected to be one of the mentors. And in this mentoring program, it was through the government, so you couldn't share the gospel. You just basically befriend them and help them. Well, Allie became really close to Viljoen, and every day, a few days a week, she'd pick her up and spend time with her. Well, the mentoring program kind of dissolved. There were the kids just... The other youth weren't really active in it, but Allie and Viljoen were close friends. And so Viljoen said, Allie, would you continue to mentor me? And Allie said, yeah, there's one condition. I want to start a Bible study with you. And Viljoen said, okay. And she was excited. And within a short period of time, Viljoen understood her need of Jesus and was saved. And little by little, Viljoen would grow in the Lord. And when Allie left for college, she came to Ashley and said, would you mentor me? And so Ashley began spending time with her. And what was so cool is when God works and he's drawing people to himself, as you lead people to Jesus, you don't know what their role will be in the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing that someone walking on the street right now, hanging their head, thinking of suicide, you could lead them to Jesus and they could actually come into this flock and be an unbelievable part of the body. And that's why Jesus gave this Great Commission, because it's us working together with God to accomplish His will. And His will is that people hear the good news. And what is so cool, Dil June, through this discipleship with Ashley, also began to learn the guitar. And now she plays the guitar leading our whole church. We don't have the ability to have a piano out there. It would warp within a few months, and it would be way out of tune. It's just hot and humid, and it's outside. And so we have guitars and ukuleles, and that's our instruments. And Dil June leads the church with the guitar. It's so cool to see how God worked in her, and she's got a light. She's shining for Jesus at her school. And let's go to the next slide there. Paul said that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Okay? The idea of praying for contacts is for open doors, that hearts would be open as that missionary is seeking to share, that there would be those contacts. And I just want to pause and just apply it here. Don't just live your life. Be actively praying that God would give you contacts. That the guy that maybe, be intentional, okay? Where you go to eat, look for the same waiter or waitress and build a relationship. It's not just overseas that it works. It's here. And as you build relationships with people and you love them, they realize you care. You're not all about you. And as you begin to pray for them, pray that God would open the door of their heart, that they would hunger for truth. And what's so amazing is when God does that, we're always shocked, and we shouldn't be, because we're praying for it, and you're there for that purpose. And so, but that's an amazing aspect of missions. As you pray for contacts, you're praying for open doors. Let's advance to the next slide there. This is a picture of a lady named Mona Lisa, and Palauans love to use names that are big names, like Ignacio or Polycarp, and just big names for their American name. And their Palawan name, they have a different name. But Mona Lisa, we got to know her as a result of her husband had cancer, and our church was able to go and minister to them. She had asked her, one of her relatives went to our church, and so we went and sang and prayed with them, and he passed away a month later, and they asked us to be part of the funeral, so we were able to minister to the church during that funeral. And at that time, Mona Lisa heard the gospel, and then she started coming to the church, but still didn't know Jesus. And this went on for about 2 or 3 months. And we would talk to her, but we could tell it wasn't right. The timing was not right. She wasn't ready. And it was around Christmas, she and Jamie and I sat in our house for about an hour or more, and she understood the gospel clearly. And she bowed her head and asked Jesus in her heart. And what was so fun about this was that when she got saved and Jamie began to disciple her, I think it was the first or second time, she works at the hospital, and so she said, "Can I bring my coworker to come and join our Bible study?" And this lady's already thinking evangelistically and invited her coworker to come and study the Bible with her. And it's awesome. As God opens doors, it just continues to have a broadening impact on people's lives. And so pray for contacts. Let's go to the next slide. And this is a prayer that I think is appropriate for missionaries. It's courage. Pray for courage. This young man in this picture, he looks tough, but he's a super nice guy. His name is Tatakoi, and I got to know him at we had a youth service. The youth did all the preaching and singing and everything in the church service, and afterwards we went to this fun place. It's the bridge, and you can jump in and swim and have barbecues, and it's like a hangout for Palauans. And so we were there and having a great time, and one of the youth came to me and said, "Hey, John, there's a fight going on, and I think you need to help." And I don't really like to step into fights, but I came around the corner, and there's Tatakoi and this other bigger guy, and the one guy, the bigger guy, punched a ranger in the face. And so it was going from bad to worse. And I noticed Tatakoi on his arm was his little mom. She's a short little lady, and she was screaming and crying and trying to get him to not get involved in this. And so I God, I went up and I don't know if it was God or my own stupidity or I'm not sure, but I went over and I said, Tatakoy, Lakomaisei, Dorail, and I'm talking to him and talking to him in Palawan, saying, hey, let's go. And I took him and I was able to get him away from this man. And just then the police pulled in, and so he got back to the little summer house and he sat down. And but a week later on Sunday, Tatakoy was sitting under the sign at the very back of our meeting area with his mom. And afterwards, I went to him, and he said, you remember me? And I said, I didn't recognize him. And I was like, what's your name? And he said, Tatakoy, you're the one who came in and broke up that fight. And he said, thank you. I was actually just got out of rehab, and if I would have been arrested, I would have gone back to jail. And so I said, well, it seems like you want to change. And he said, yeah, I really do. And I said, how about we meet on Tuesday morning? And so we got together on Tuesday morning at a little restaurant, and I shared with him the gospel for about 2 hours. And there were Palawan Rubak, important elderly Palawan men, sitting there, some leaders. And I thought maybe he'd be ashamed of that. But he sat there, and after I finished, I said, Tatakoy, do you understand what I've just shared with you? And he said, yeah. And I said, what's holding you back? And he said, nothing. And I said, would you like to trust in Jesus today? He will forgive your sins. And he said, absolutely. And he bowed his head and in Palawan prayed a lengthy prayer. I mean, loud. And all these leaders, former president of Palau was there. And they're listening. They can't, you know. But Tatakoy, just pray for him as you think about it. He's a young man that's struggling forward. I can't wait to get back and continue to disciple him. But sometimes missionaries are in spots where physically they're needing courage. Other times it's an inner courage that needs to happen when they're put into a situation where maybe a group of leaders are putting pressure on them to sort of just go along with everyone else and not make a big deal, or sort of, syncretism is big around the mission fields where people want you just to sort of, we're all the same, we're all going toward the same God. And a missionary, it's easy to get, we call it island theology in Palau, where you sort of just adapt all of the different religions and you become, everybody's happy and everybody's one, but no one's pleasing God when you do that. But courage is so critical to be able to stand up and say, no, this is absolutely not okay. God says this in his word. And there have been times where we've had to do that. And in missions, pray for that. Pray for courage. Let's advance the next slide there and look at what Paul said. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Now look, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And Paul was saying it's more than just being a presence. It's okay to say, I want to be a light at my work, and I smile a lot, and I'm kind. But there's a point where you need to speak. And you know what's needed in order for you to speak? You need courage. And just like you need it here, there's nothing magical that happens when you get on a jet and you fly overseas. You still need courage. You want to just keep your mouth shut, especially in situations where you know the ramifications could mean that you're asked to leave the island or leave the place you're in. So pray for courage for missionaries. Let's continue forward with the next slide. Kind of jumbled a little bit, but Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Paul, if you want to look there with me real quickly, he says, let's see here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul wanted courage, and he said, pray for me that I'd have courage to say what needs to be said. All right, let's continue. And the next word is clarity. And so much of when you're in a foreign country, knowing how to say something is as important as what you say, because you've got to say it in a way that people can grasp it. And really, it even goes beyond even you verbalizing it right. It's God, the Holy Spirit, giving that heart understanding. So clarity is you praying God would give understanding to clearly communicate his gospel to non-believers in a different culture. In this picture, you can see there are tents all over this property. And Palawan customs are, the funerals are long, long drawn-out process. It's at least 2 weeks. And then it culminates with a big event where all of the local family, the clan, their name is read on the radio, and they have to come or they have to send an envelope that has money in it. Because if your auntie passed away and you came to my funeral, my auntie's funeral, and you put $500 in that envelope, they keep a ledger, detailed ledger, of how much every person gives. And so if I went to your auntie's funeral and then you come to my auntie's and you only give $50, they read it over the loudspeaker, how much every person gives. So you talk about pressure. People take loans out of the bank at these funerals. It's really sad. It's hard. But it's their form of insurance. So what they really knew, I mean, Palawans know they need encouragement at these things. Some of it's the loss of somebody they love, but others it's just their wallet. They're just broke. They don't have the ability to do what they need to do. So we come, and the last funeral we were part of, we flew out on Monday morning. We had a funeral on Saturday for an extended family of one of the church members. We sang 50 songs. So, you know, that is a lot of music. And in Palau, you don't just sing verse one. You cannot. That's actually, and I know it's probably the same here, it seems like. But honestly, we sang 50 songs, every verse, no jab, no personal jab. But anyway, what happens though is the platform is then set, and normal funerals, we'll sing 20 or 30 songs. And then there's opportunity for us to share about 5 to 7 minute gospel, and it's in their language. And so it's critical to know how to word the message for them to understand the gospel. There's a word, in fact, for missionaries that are learning the language, there's things that you may just trust that it is the real meaning, but it's not the real meaning. So you have to really spend time and dig and find out, oh, so this is the real meaning. Because so many things, in Palawan, and I'm sure it's this way in many other languages, you've got to have the right exact word or they get the wrong idea of how to be saved. So pray for clarity. All right, let's continue forward. Paul said that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He wanted to be clear. He didn't want to have muddy water. I love hearing Pastor Joel. He's clear. But I have sat under preaching that's muddy. And you're just like, what was the point? But today you walked out and you had a point. You knew what the mission was. You knew what God's word told us to do. And that's what we pray for. And it's easy when you're trying to speak in another language to be pointless. It's easy. You think you're on track. But so just pray for that for your missionaries so that the word goes forth and does what God wants it to do. All right, let's continue. This is a little video that, unfortunately, it's not working, but it's a video of a. It's fascinating how God works. We've had so many bizarre things happen where people from all around the world wind up on this little dot in Palau. I mean, it's just this man, Sergeant Joseph. He works with the military. He's a CB Civic Action Team. He basically coordinates all the projects. And so I met him at one of the ceremonies. They had asked our group to come and sing and do the Palawan National Anthem and pray for the opening. And we met, and he said, hey, you have any projects? And I said, well, actually, I really need to pour a slab of cement. Cement's hard work. And, you know, military guys are pretty tough. And so I thought, well, I'll feed them well, and we'll be able to connect with these guys, and they can help me. So we did, and while we were standing by the road waiting for the materials to come, Sergeant Joseph looked at me and he said, "You know, if there is a God, I don't think he cares." And I knew immediately that he had had some rough things happen in his life. And so I just began to pray in my heart, "Lord, help me to know what to say. Help me to know how to help Sergeant Joseph." And we did the project together. They did a great job. And then afterwards, Jamie made a meal, and we sat and ate. And I said, "Hey, would you guys like to go fishing?" Somebody had given me a boat when we first went in 2008, actually, a couple of years after we'd been there. And it's been a great tool. But these guys, "Yeah, would love to go." So three of the men went with me, and we got out there. You know, they can't go anywhere. When they're 10 miles past the reef, they can't go anywhere. And so we had an awesome conversation. They were hungry for it. And afterwards, Sergeant Joseph said, "Hey, you know what? I've enjoyed these conversations about God. Can we continue?" And I said, "Yeah." So we got together on Tuesday morning at a restaurant there, and we sat and talked. And this went on for several times, and he trusted Christ. And after he trusted Christ, it was right after Easter, he said, "You know what? I want to be baptized." Because he had just seen the baptisms on Easter. And we were planning to leave in just a few days. And he said, "Actually, I want to be baptized on Sunday morning at 5:30 at the bridge." So I'm like, "Okay, I can do that." And I announced it to the church. And I thought maybe four people would show up. And there were 30 people. Two other Palawan young men wanted to be baptized. So it was fun to watch. But he stood and testified. And he said, "I'm sick of living my life for myself. I've given my life to Jesus, and I want to follow him now in obedience and baptism." It was super cool to see. And as you pray for conversions, you're praying for something even more than just open doors. You're praying for actual someone who steps forward and trusts in Jesus. There's a difference. We want to have a lot of open doors, but when you pray for conversions, you're actually saying, "God, bring this person into the kingdom." And so we want both to happen, because God wants all men to be saved. And some, it may be that the open door, you give them a gospel touch, and 10 years down the road, someone else, they'll wind up in Baltimore, and they'll hear the gospel here and trust Jesus. So God's plan is so big, it's so intricate. We pray for those open doors, because it's a team effort. Most of you didn't trust Jesus on your first time you heard the gospel. It was a process. And so, but this is what this one is. Let's continue with the next slide there. And look at this. It says, "The key of all missionary success is prayer. That key is in the hands of the home churches. The trophies won by our Lord in heathen lands will be won by praying missionaries, not by professional workers in foreign lands." You have a huge part in this. So if anything good comes from tonight's message, I hope this rallies you and renews your heart to pray for your missionaries. Because you may not ever be able to see pictures of things that have happened as a result of your prayers. And hopefully tonight is an encouragement, because you've been praying for us for years, for 13 years. And yet, you probably won't even see half of what happens around the world. And just keep on. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Let's continue with the next slide. So Paul, again, 2 Thessalonians 3, he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith." All right, let's continue. And the next one, and the next two really kind of tie together. I'm going to give you both of them, and we'll work our way through it. But Christ-likeness, and then the last one is co-workers. So Christ-likeness, Paul, again, I think it was Paul, maybe it was someone else, but Hebrews 13:18, he said, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly." And so much of missions, Christ-likeness is the key for a missionary to be able to truly serve without being held back. If there is a lack of a clear conscience, your hands are tied. They're tied. And as you pray for Christ's likeness, I want to ask for prayer in two ways with this. Pray for Christ's likeness for the team, that's the actual missionaries there. Pray that God would help them to be like Jesus in how they act towards each other, how they respond, how they interact, how they treat people that are not kind to them, how they treat their family. Just pray for those relationships, for Christ's likeness. But then secondly, pray for Christ's likeness in the church. And I mentioned this in Sunday school, but what's hard about missions, especially like where we are, church planting in Palau, we have all first-generation believers. There's no godly gray hair that have walked with the Lord for years and years and years. They're gray hair, but they're young in the Lord. So they're struggling through. We don't have the older women to teach the younger women, and we're getting there by the grace of God. We have some wonderful, wonderful people. Don't get me wrong, but as you pray for Christ's likeness, I want you to have that in your mind, that there's not the spiritual momentum of positive people bringing them along and say, hey, come on, let's go this way. We don't have that. It's happening. It's growing that way. And as we train the young people, and we have 8 studying in college right now, 8 young men, and one of the girls just graduated and came back. It's exciting to see that the potential and where we're headed is coming, but that's a challenge. So pray for Christ's likeness. And I say that because the next one is co-workers. And co-workers is really a challenge. The number one reason why missionaries leave the field is team conflict. Did you know that? So let's advance the slide. I'd like to show you, let me show you this real quick. This is a great quote. I can't pass it up. Josiah Bancroft said, "Going into missions is like pouring Miracle-Gro on all your sins." In the Christian life, being is most important, and then doing. And honestly, it is. You want to have your faith tested, go and pack it up, take your family to the other side of the world where you don't know anybody and you're in a different environment. It truly is like pouring Miracle-Gro. So pray for Christ-likeness. Let's continue then to co-workers. These are our teammates. John and Heather came over in 2007. And they're a wonderful couple that love the Lord. It's really cool, the story how God brought our team together. And John's actually holding down the fort while we're away, and he's just a great guy. Then we just actually we're talking with this couple that were there on a short-term basis. The next slide is of Reed and Heather Olson. And Heather was actually in our youth group. Brindley knew her at Brookside. And Heather married Reed. And anyway, we were talking a few years ago, and I mentioned coming to Palau. They wanted to do missions. And I said, why don't you come out? And well, it turned out things worked out well that they could come and fill in while we were away. And then I just spoke with them and said, would you guys commit to another 3 years? So they're going to be with us another 3 years. And as you think through just our Palau little, you know, team in Palau, pray for those key things, for Christ-likeness, for really Philippians 2, that we would have the mind of Christ. Because as you interact, you have all different personalities. You know, John Clapp and I, if you gave us a problem to solve, John would go this way, I would go this way. And it's not wrong. John would have a whole set of ideas and thoughts, and I would have all different ideas and thoughts. And the beauty of it is that God puts together a team that isn't the same. If everyone's the same, someone's not needed. And even in your marriage, you've got to learn this. And if you don't learn this as a newly married person, you'll be like up against the wall all the time, because you've got differences and you challenge each other. Not in a disrespectful or mean way, but that tension is good. It balances it out. It's a good thing. And it took us time, but after time, John and I, and really I would say Philippians 2 was my anchor during those challenging times of trying to really work together Those were difficult. And I can honestly say, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love John and he loves me. We have a great friendship. But those were difficult times. And what happened was those times forged in us a commitment to be Christ-like, that we would let the mind of Christ be in us, that we would not speak to each other in those, you know, speaking down words. You know what I'm talking about? And that's why this is so critical. As you pray for missionaries, think that through and pray for them. I want to just show you this little survey that was done. Could you click to the next slide? Well, this is the explanation of it, and I'll show you the diagram of it. But in 1999, a team of doctors studied stress levels on the mission field using the Holmes-Rey scale. The typical missionary they tested had sustained levels over 300 year after year, with many reaching 600 on the scale, and first-termers getting close to 900. So now let me show you this little scale. The next slide. The average, you know, a high stress level for most people, it's kind of washed out there, but the top bar is high. The next bar below it is dangerous. The next one below that is very dangerous. And then the one below that is missionary. And it goes, so the very dangerous would be at 300, the missionaries at 600, all the way to the far right, and first termers actually get up to 900. It is no wonder that most missionaries, when they go out, only stay one term because of the stress levels of all the things going on. And so I just tell you that not to say, poor us, we love it. We're not stressed. There are moments we are. So don't get me wrong. I'm trying to say, don't look at us and don't think we're saying, poor us, we're the poor missionaries. We love, it's an honor to do what we do. It's not a burden. But when you pray, I want you to understand how to pray clearly for missionaries, because it's not all glitz and glamour. It's not all charging in the jungle and reaching the whole tribe for Jesus. That's not it. That's fairy tale. It's hard work. It's time in the trenches. It's people getting ticked at each other, trying to resolve family conflict that's been there for thousands of years. It's difficult. So I say that because I really believe as a church, the more insight you have in how to pray for the missionary, the more effective it'll be. And when you pray, you'll really, and I would urge you to take these same C's and pray them for Pastor Joel here. Because that same thing is true here. And it's a great little tool, and I hope it encourages you. Is there any more slides in that? The last section there was Luke 10, where Jesus was urging the disciples, and he said, therefore, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And honestly, if you could see the age of missionaries that are on the field, and the age of young people going in, those that are actually entering the missions, you'd see that we're in a big trouble right now as far as missions. And there are a lot of places that are still unreached. It's not that we can just turn them loose because there's no one there that knows Jesus. And as you think of where we're at, the next phase after we move through this church in a box, we are seriously looking at reaching our nearest neighbors. And it's a little island chain called the Halmahera Islands in northeastern Indonesia. And we took a survey trip with the Palauans. I took three men with me and walked around the island and prayed and said, God, would you just show us what you're doing and help us to know if you want us to be part of this. And what was fascinating, these people looked like the Palauans. They spoke a different language, had a different religion because they're 100% Muslim, but they looked like them. And I believe with all my heart, God is leading us to do something there within the next 5 years. So put that sort of on your radar as far as your prayer radar. There's a lot of places that need the gospel that no one has ever gone. And I do believe if we just continue to be sensitive to the Lord, he's going to send forth laborers. And let me just say this, and I'll finish. Missions is awesome. It's awesome. If God would ever put it in your heart, my parents were in their 60s, and my youngest sister graduated from college, and my dad looked at my mom and said, "It's time. We're going." And they packed it up. They went to Puerto Rico. He taught Greek and Hebrew and taught the locals how to fix air conditioners so they could pay their bills as they pastor. So don't think you're too old. If God starts stirring in your heart, it's the greatest thing to do. It's an awesome journey. It's difficult, but with the difficulty comes God's grace and strength. And so as you pray this, don't be surprised if God starts doing a little bit of that in your heart. So, all right, let's pray and we'll finish up tonight. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you're doing here at Anchor. Thank you for this church family that truly loves you and loves missions, and I pray that you would reward them for that. Help us, Lord, to just be faithful. It's not the big glitz and glamour that really you're after. You're just after people that want to know you more, that are sensitive to you and surrendered, and then you go to work. And so we surrender tonight before you. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you all the praise, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.